Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Wearing my glasses, I seldom do. Anyway, it's a lugubrious day as Vladimir Putin commenced his fifth term as president of the Russian Federation. So an office he first held, certainly on an acting basis, from New Year's Eve 1999, and substantively from May that year, with the brief hiatus 2008-2012, when Medvedev kept the chair warm for him. So, you know, he's changed the constitution to say it's not just two consecutive terms, it's only more than two consecutive terms are forbidden, so long as you take a break and come back for another two, and then zero the terms. And that was for him only as an individual, not for any future presidents. That's how preposterous it is how they warped it when they had that referendum during the coronavirus lockdown to pass dozens of constitutional amendments with one vote. You had to say yes or no to the entire package as though there could be a proper choice like that. So it's now a six-year term, not four like it used to be before Medvedev. And so he can go on from now until 20, and assuming that he wins another one to 2036, he's now 71, he could go on till he's 83. So it was there in St. George's Hall in the Kremlin, Moscow. So we can't take it this way for him. Yes, he's a foul, murderous, fork-tongued ogre, absolutely satanic, utterly despicable and dishonorable, but it did put on a magnificent ceremony to the majestic strains of a choir and an orchestra and so on, and the hall looked magnificent. So, I mean, he's all show and no substance, and so he had the Russian elite dutifully tugging the forelock there. He went to shake the hand of one elderly man as he made his very long procession up there with his unusual gait. They say it was that a symptom, he's had this for decades, of latent Alzheimer's or something. I remember at the beginning of the war, speculation was rife that he had Alzheimer's, he had terminal cancer. You know, terminal, you can live 15 years with terminal cancer because treatment is so good and you will have the best oncology in the world. So I think there is something wrong with him, and no, I can't prove it. But most 71-year-olds are not that healthy, even though they had an incredibly healthy lifestyle of no alcohol, of no smoking, of plenty of exercise, judo, as he's very keen to let us know, and an extremely healthy diet, not too much of the highest quality food and all the rest of it. But a little bit of stress, but his face is a bit puffy. So it looks like he's rock solid, but that's the appearance and not the reality. And mostly the ambassadors of various countries stayed away, of the United States, Canada, 20 European Union countries, the United Kingdom. Fascinating to say which EU countries did have their ambassadors show up. France, notably, which is a turn up for the books, considering Macron the other day was saying he might deploy French troops to Ukraine if Russia breaks through. Only might, not that he definitely will. And lots of other Western countries said, nah, if you do so, you're on your own, mate. But Slovakia, Hungary did, because the governments of those two countries are fairly sympathetically inclined towards the Putin regime. And a couple more, Cyprus, which is not a NATO country, which has got Russian expatriates with self-citizenship, Greece and so on, which likes to play both sides of the street a little bit. Which is sort of, because an Orthodox country is friendly disposed to Russia, overlooking the small fact that Ukraine is also an Orthodox country and Ukraine, and, you know, Orthodox civilians are being slaughtered there by Putin's forces. And it was really sickening after the ceremony to see Putin go to that complete brown noser, Patriarch Kirill, who's just been an establishment toady all his life in the communist era, blessing the communist regime, which had murdered millions of Orthodox Christians, specifically because they were Christians, closed down almost every single church in Russia, a viciously anti-Christian regime. But anyway, and there he was jubilating Putin and saying that Putin was appointed by God himself, that he prayed that Putin could rule to the end of the 21st century. It was a sickening spectacle. So as under the Tsars, he's completely co-opted, is really just a tool of the regime, and Putin doesn't even need to tune the pulpit. He's never had the least dissent out of Kirill, and it was real sad at the times that were a handful of Orthodox priests who did raise their voices for peace and human rights in this war. So the Commonwealth of Independent States, they all sent high level delegations, not presidents notably, but Armenia did not. The only one in this collective security treaty organization country which didn't have any delegation which refused it, so to send anyone, was a real two fingers, because they're extremely disappointed that Russia keeps letting them down with regard to defending their homeland against Azerbaijan. They're openly talking about leaving the CSTO, but there may be condign retribution. The president of Laos was there, the president of Guinea-Bissau, can't think, the president of Cuba. All countries dating back to the Soviet era, which have a fairly cooperative relationship with Moscow. Again, let's not forget, if the Soviet Union did anything moral, well, Ukraine did all that too, because they were Soviets too. You can't not give them credit for that. Right, so Putin, and then he said, yes, his goal is the subjugation of Ukraine. They're pressing ahead with that. He emphasized the oneness of Russia. We must all stand together. So he trotted out the usual anodyne, platitudes. So the war's going on, and there's no sign he's winding down. And there are indications to Ukraine that they just can't take it anymore. Even with a $60 billion aid package, is it too little too late? Obviously, it's taking some pressure off on them, and some of the weapons have arrived already, the attackums and so on. And Russia says, oh, they're nonsense, we've shot down four of them, which is probably a lie. And I read the Ukrainian government reports about how many Russian soldiers they've killed each day, and I think it'll take a naught off the end, you might get the real figure. So I'm bored to tears of quoting William Howard Russell, father war correspondents, that truth is the first casualty of war. So Putin wants to win this war, and where's next? If he had his way, it would be a Moldova, Belarus to fully integrate it, would even oust Lukashenko or just leave him as a satrap, either or. What else? Possibly Georgia, and that would lead on to Armenia if needs be, rebuilding the Soviet Union of the empire. And then if NATO has proved itself to be invertebrate, he said, well, I will put soldiers a few meters into Estonia, and then further and further and further, hybrid warfare, take down the internet, they all sorts of computer viruses they hack, they're always doing it. And could he take bits of Ukraine, of Estonia, more of Estonia, and say, oh, the Russian civilians there are suffering genocide, we have to save them. And this is causus interventionis. And saying, because there will be all this dithering, Donald Trump has pulled out of NATO, and they're not spending enough. And Trump, you know, even the devil can speak true. Occasionally, even he gets it right, saying that these NATO countries should spend more, and they should spend more for ages. And they've been having a free rides for a decade. I mean, the Republic of Ireland, we're not a NATO country, but we spend very, very little, like under 1% for ages. And despite a lot of Anglophobia, these racist bigots saying, oh, those evil English, blah, 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 despite the way that the Royal Air Force is the only thing that would defend, you know, Irish airspace, the Royal Navy, our territorial waters, because our Navy is very, very small, only 8 boats, I can't call them ships, because we're too stingy to spend on that and want to splurge on the nice stuff and not pay too much in tax, even though we're a very affluent country. So, and obviously joining NATO is the right thing to do. And then we can even have Irish troops in Northern Ireland. Right, so what's the next point? So he wants to do that, and really not talking about the economy or boosting the population, unless it's kidnapping foreign children. So it's a very worrying scenario if he wins. But I don't think he's going to win outright. He'll take a bit of Ukraine. He's not going to take the whole of the country. In that sense, we've saved it. The Dnieper is the big geographical barrier he would come to. But, you know, there might be method to Macron's madness. One thing he could do, which would be useful, which wouldn't put France in too much danger, would be to deploy French troops on the border of Belarus. So if Russia tried to invade from the north again, they'd bump into the French army, and that'd be war against France, which is a nuclear power. Or French troops along the border of Moldova, so that the Ukrainians wouldn't have to guard it. Remember, there are 2,000 Russian soldiers illegally occupying Transnistria, the eastern slice of Moldova. And Russia pretends that they're peacekeepers. They're not there by the United Nations. They're belligerents. And so they couldn't get out. If the war goes really well, could Moldova finally retake Transnistria and say, just surrender to us now? You know, you're cut off, you're surrounded, something like that. So, yes, it was in a very unedifying scene today. So that's how it's going to go on. People say they can sustain this war for 3 years, but they burnt through most of that national wealth fund. It might be incredibly difficult. I mean, they have boosted the economy. When you spend like crazy in the short term, you do, but the economy overheats. How long can they keep this going for? It may be a collapse. Now, the real wildcard factor is what happens to oil and gas prices. If they go up, that gives them another lease of life. If they go down, they're really screwed. So even before 3 years are up, because the sanctions have been tightened a little bit, they've been able to evade them. Even the United Kingdom purchasing Russian oil, so long as it's refined abroad, needs to close that loophole. You know, Western countries could easily do without buying any potash, any food, any vodka, and what are their other exports? The difficult thing is metals, because Russia, having the vast land area in the world, does have a lot of metal. The more land you have, the chances are the more minerals you're going to have, and they do have an awful lot of metals. And you can avoid buying them, but the trouble is that you can only buy them other producers, and the price is going to be higher because you've limited the supply that's available to you. But that would hurt the Russian economy. And then there's some more to do against third countries. And, you know, G7 countries are still selling machine tools, cars, things like that to Russia. That could all be cut off as well. So, yeah, is the war is the main thing. Continuing oppression of his own people. Massive scale state terror. I'm worried about that Vladimir Karamurza got lost in the penal system for a couple of weeks. And that was a prefatory act to the murder of Navalny. So remember where you heard it first. Mark my words. I'm sorry to say, I think Karamurza is not going to make old bones. I doubt he'll be alive by Christmas. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Toodaloo, everyone. До свидания, спокойной ночи.